I'm so glad that you're here today, and Jason already mentioned, like, if you're here and your hair is like going in all kinds of directions because, you know, you didn't have a shower this morning because, you know, the water was cold because your power was out. Thanks for coming. And some of you negotiated some downed trees and that type of thing. Man, was that weather crazy or what? I mean, come on, our power was out. Fortunately, yesterday in the morning here it was out. We had a funeral in the afternoon. The power blinked a couple times, but stayed on for the service. So thankful for that. But hey, God's in all and over all. Amen. No matter what storms come our way in life, like we experience, or in life, like we sometimes experience. So I'm glad that you're here. We're going to continue our family series in just a moment on strengthening family relationships. Our focus has been on really how to deal with conflicts in a biblical way, you know, within our family structures and with those that who are close to us, and maybe there are people who that we work with or we live nearby and that type of thing. Be there in just a moment. A couple things. Last week was an incredible week. If you were here at Gateway, God just did amazing things. Monty Hipp spoke, and he talked about, I told Monty afterwards, I think the most powerful message I have ever heard on not letting your past define your future, because Jesus brings healing. And it was incredible. After the service, the people came to the altars. That happened all day, and I heard incredible stories. Here's what I want to say to you. Many of you, God did amazing things in your heart and your life, and then you left and got about life, and the enemy came and tried to disrupt what Jesus had done in your life. And I just want to say to you, don't let that happen. That's the way he works. That's what he does. When Jesus does something in our heart and our life, no matter what Sunday, what day it is, the enemy will always be to try to stop that and try and disrupt that. But how many of you know that greater is he who is in us than that guy, right? So we push back against that. We don't receive what he wants to bring into our lives. Amen. Are you with me? Okay, so thank you. So we'll remember that. Next week, we're going to be dedicating our new sound system. And so I just alert you to that, and I just believe in that. It's all brand new. I thank God for what you have provided, but I believe that as his word and worship goes across, you know, these sound waves, however that happens, it will be anointed of God. And so we're going to dedicate that next Sunday. And help me do one thing. Will you squash the rumor that Tom's removing the cross from Gateway? That is not true. Our artist who designed the one cross that you see most often has just finished a stand for it. We're also to have to do some structural work to move a big cross that's behind me on the wall here inside the auditorium here, but there's some work that has to be done. So if you hear somebody going, hey, they took the cross out of Gateway, you just say, not true. Everybody say it with me. Not true. Not going to happen. So there we go. Okay, how many athletes or sports enthusiasts that we have, right? You just love sports, okay? All right. Lots of you out there. I bet there are more than just raise your hand. So if you're a grandparent and you have ever been to your granddaughter's or your grandson's baseball game, did you enjoy that? You're a sports enthusiast then, right? Or like me as a young father, you know, I was not that interested in baseball until my kids started playing baseball and they started playing t-ball. Then I got really interested. Now I'm a sports enthusiast, right? And I love that. And I was umpire, too, while my kids were hitting and running. And I got accused one time by an old grandma. He's cheating, you know. But look, I wasn't. All right. So I became a sports enthusiast for baseball, right? When my oldest granddaughter started playing volleyball, guess what? Volleyball. And like, I know like squat about volleyball. In fact, I was asking Bree the other day, 5'2", 6'2", 5'1", what's all that stuff mean, you know? Like, but listen, when I'm on the court, I mean, she's on the court and I'm in the stands, guess what? Just one crazy papa up there in the stands, right? I'm a sport. When my grandson started playing soccer, guess what? I know nothing about soccer. I just think that, like, you just got to kick the ball, and I understand why you're standing in that part of the field not doing anything. So, anyway, but when he started playing soccer, I'm a sports enthusiast, really. Now, how many sports enthusiasts do we have? Now, raise your hand, okay? So you've been there, okay, lots more people. Now, this is a time in church where it's okay to cheer or jeer. Okay, so you know what cheer is, right? Give me a cheer. Boo. Give me a jeer. Oh, you guys are so good. Okay, so, I got some sports disciplines I'm going to bring up on the screen, right? So some of you will cheer, some of you will Jeer. Okay, here we go. Number one, all right? Yes. And, oh, right? See, I'm sorry, Tricia there, back there. And Tricia, who works for us, she's trying to explain to me the game of soccer, you know. Right over here, come on, you guys. You were in soccer, aren't you? I see your soccer shirts on. So we're cheering this discipline. By the way, I appreciate the discipline of these guys, these athletes. Okay, here comes one. Huh? How about that? That's me. Yay. All right, cycling, right? Okay, how many out there? Raise your hand. Okay, let's hear your cheer then. Yeah, it's not me. And the jeers? Oh, okay, all right. All right, okay. How about this one here, huh? Yeah, hey. There we go. Yeah. And from our San Diego Chargers friend, come on, Christina. Oh, you're cheering, really? All right, all right. You know, we got Charger fans in the house. I know that. You know, God bless you. We beat you yesterday by 1 point. Everybody, yay! However, I think it was the best the Seahawks are going to do this year, so I don't know. Okay, all right. This one gets my heart rate up, okay? Gets my heart pumping, my blood going. Ready? Are you ready? Here it is right here. Oh, yeah. How many curlers do we have out there? Is there one? Don't be shy. Where are you? Where are you? Oh, up here. There's one. Let me hear it, Danny. And everybody else? Oh, you know what? So curling, right? I can get into the game. These guys are good. They spend a lot of time sliding that rock, right, down towards that center thing. And I get it, man. I do. I get it. I when they're sweeping the floor, I can get right into it, really. I mean, they have worked really, really hard to do that stuff. Disciplines that they have learned in life. You know what's really interesting? Like lots of us, the jeers, by the way, when it comes to curling, when it comes on TV, we got this little thing called a remote, right? And we'll flip it off. Or we'll turn it to another channel, maybe to a soccer game or to a Seahawks game or to something else that we really, really like, or to something completely different, right? Because we got the remote in hand and we can shut that thing off no matter how many hours and days these guys have practiced. Something comes on and the Seahawks are losing, right? And true fan, I know, sticks with it. And some of us, we change the channel, right, when they start losing, all that kind of, because we can do that, because we got the remote. I want to talk to you today about dealing with difficult people in our life, in a spiritual discipline that all of us can learn that will stop us from turning the channel or walking away from a really difficult position. Spiritual disciplines. They are those things that God brings into our lives to mature us and to cause us to be more dependent upon Him. Now, if I ask you, and I'm not asking you to respond or raise your hand or anything, but if I ask you, how many have a real difficult person in your life right now? Many of our hands are going to go up. Yeah, oh, you are anyway, so you're honest. Oh, wow. And some of you are looking at your spouse. Parents are looking at kids. Kids are looking at parents, you know, right? But listen, we truly do. We have difficult people in our lives. We're going to be talking about that. I'm going to share with you a spiritual discipline, something that I believe God will use in us in order to grow us and to mature us. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I want you to think about who that person is right now. And I'm not asking you to identify who that person is publicly, but who is it? Because honestly, for some of you, it's the person you're sitting next to. For some of you, it's your employer. They're a really difficult person. For some of you, it's an employee because we have a lot of employers. For some of you, it's a neighbor. After the 9 o'clock service, it's kind of interesting. Two different gentlemen come up to me and said, yeah, great, you know, that was the message for me today because at, you know, 2 o'clock this morning, I was typing an email. And I said, you didn't hit the send button, did you? He goes, nah, I didn't hit the send button yet. But, you know, that discipline, that spiritual discipline was for me. And that may be your story here today, too. We'll talk about that. Now, I understand that there are those of us, when we talk about difficult people in our lives, we truly are talking about some really unfortunate things way out here, the abusers and so on like that. And if that's you, I would love to help you through that, really focusing in on the 95 or 98% of us who kind of deal with these ongoing little things in our life and help us out in this area. Now, the psalmist helps us in Psalm 59. If you have launched YouVersion Live, you'll find the teaching notes there, also on the screen. But Psalm 59, the psalmist is dealing with difficult people. And let's just look and see what he does. Rescue me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who have come to destroy me. That's how some of you feel right now with those people, right? Maybe someone really, really close to you. Rescue me from those who come to destroy me. Rescue me from these criminals. Save me from these murderers. They have set an ambush for me. Fierce enemies are out there waiting, Lord, though I have not sinned or offended them. I have done nothing wrong, yet they prepare to attack me. Wake up, see what is happening, and help me. He's crying out to God. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, wake up and punish those hostile nations. Show no mercy to the wicked traitors. They come out at night snarling like vicious dogs. I don't know if you've ever thought about that difficult person in your life as a snarling, vicious dog. Maybe that's how they are. As they prowl the streets. Listen to the filth that comes from their mouths. Their words cut like swords. After all, who can hear us? They sneer. But Lord, you laugh at them. You scoff at all the hostile nations. You are my strength. I wait for you to rescue me. For you, O God, are my fortress. In his unfailing love, my God will stand with me. He will let me look down in triumph on all my enemies. Don't kill them, for my people soon forget such lessons. Stagger them with your power and bring them to their knees, O Lord, our shield. Let's leave that up for just a moment. Depending on what version of the Bible you have this morning, that word stagger, it says scatter. So here's the psalmist looking at all those who are oppressing him, and he's saying this, don't kill them, for my people will soon forget. Just stagger them, or just scatter them. You see, for some of us, when we talk about a difficult person in our life, what comes to our mind, and you don't have to even raise your hand, is like, God, I want you to do what? Take them out, right? Whatever word you have used, slaughter them, kill them, remove them, take them out, remove them from my life. That way I won't have to deal with them. Now I know just a verse or two down, the psalmist says, God, destroy them, kill them. And to that I say, look, we all have our moments. We've all been there when we prayed that prayer. But I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. And we'll talk about that for just a few moments here as we talk about dealing with difficult people in our lives, in your life, and in my life. Dick Brogdon is a gentleman that I follow very, very closely in my devotional reading and my study and so on. And he treats this passage this way, and it's going to be challenging to many of us. He says this, God does not intend for us to lead a resistance-free life. Man, some of us are going, okay, I'm out of here right now. I'm clicking you off because we're looking for a resistance-free life, aren't we? We are many times, but God doesn't intend for that. We long to be free from oppression. But listen, God's method of making us strong is to scatter our enemies that they might one day return. How many are going, great? Because our prayer has been what? God, not only scatter them, but remove them completely from my life. Might scatter them that they might one day return. He does not slay them and remove them forever. There's a reason. Here it is. If he removed all oppression, this would be worse than repeatedly having to overcome aggressors and accusers. Those who resist us and attack us keep us, and this is the key, dependent on God. We're to live our lives totally and completely dependent upon him. Now listen, I thank God when he comes into our lives and does something miraculous. But it's because we've learned dependence upon him. We're to depend on God. All the blessedness of having enemies. Now, I'm going to have you repeat that with me, okay? Because some of us are going to go, okay, the blessedness of having enemies. But we got to say it with conviction, okay? As an enthusiast here, okay, ready? Oh, blessedness of having enemies. They are the exercise weights of our soul, the resistance that builds our spiritual muscles. And I know what some of us are saying, like, great, the gym? Like, I never want to go to the gym, ever, never, ever. You sweat at the gym, right? You stink at the gym. Spiritual muscles? You got to be kidding me. That's what we're talking about, how God uses people in your life and in my life that fall into this category called difficult people, some of them close to us, some of them in our family, some of them we work with, to cause us to grow in Him, to be mature in Him, to learn a greater dependence upon Him. There are two scriptures I want to give you that are key for the teaching today and for the weeks that we have been talking how to deal with conflict. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says this, work at living in peace with everyone. Talk about spiritual fitness, right? Talk about the gym, work. Everybody say work, 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 work. If you're someone who highlights or you circle or you do those things in your Bible, like circle work. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Work at living in peace with everyone. And do what? Work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Work at living in peace. Work at it. You know what that word literally means? It means to pursue and hunt. Think about it. Pursue peace, hunt peace with everyone. Guys, if you're married here or you're in a relationship, I mean, did you pursue that lady? I chased mine. No, she chased me. Okay, no, I chased her. Well, what's that pursuit look like in your life, in that relationship? Or maybe you're pursuing a career opportunity. You're pursuing a job. You're pursuing to be really, really good at some sport in your life. I mean, you got all that enthusiasm, and you work at it, and you pursue it, and you're up early, and you're working hard. Pursue, work that hard at living in peace with everyone. Hunt it down. How many hunters today? Here, hunters, where are you? Hunters, hunters, hunters. Like, okay, hunters, hunters. I don't hunt, but I'm glad that you do. I'm a wimp, I know, because I can't kill stuff, except for spiders, which I usually send my wife after anyway. I know, I do. Okay, so I sent her on a mission to kill a big spider going across our house the other day. That's the only thing, and moles. But anyway, I don't hunt. But here's what I know what hunters do. Like, this is what you do. Some of you, right? I've read about it. You put on this camouflage stuff. I know there's a time when you put a red hat on or orange hat. And there are some of you, you buy stuff to make you stink like the animal that you're going to hunt. Is that true or not? Billy, is that true? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. So you put this scent on you, and when you leave the house, you stink like the animal, right? That's what you do. That's the extent that some hunters go to, right? Hunt at it. Hunt at living in peace. Do you see the intentionality here? Work at it. Hunt at it. Make it part of your life. Work at living a holy life. Philippians chapter 2 says this, verse 3, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. What we learn from that Hebrews passage is this is work that we're talking about, spiritual work. But thank God He enables us to do it. But what we learn here is the other person is the focus. Impress others. Be humble, thinking of who? Others as better than yourself. Let's keep that in mind as we look at a spiritual exercise for dealing with conflict. It centers around this one word called pause. Everybody say pause. Pause. I wanted to get a big old button up here that I could hit every now and then. That's our pause button. How many know that in conflict, it's really good sometimes to just do what? Pause. Because how many have said something and you wish you could have taken it back? You hit the send button. And you wish you would have done what? Pause right in that moment, right? Before you sent it, because that would have been the really good thing to do. I've been there. Look, I've sent it when I wish I would have paused it. I've said it when I wish I would have done what? Paused it. So I'm going to encourage you, if you have a paper, a pen, or your tablet, your phone, and I say, Gateway, look, don't leave your tablets at home. Don't leave your phones at home. Bring your stuff because we take notes. So if you launch YouVersion Live, you're going to find the teaching there as well. So I want to share with you a spiritual discipline I'm going to invite all of us into, because I think it's a biblical approach in dealing with difficult people who are in your life right now and right today. The first one is P. Anybody want to guess what it stands for? Well, there it is right there. Prepare. Prepare. So I'm going to leave all the notes up here so those of you writing down, you can get them. Prepare. We first begin to pray about. Now, that's really important. It can almost, you know, for followers of Jesus, that just almost can sound like a cliche, right? Did you pray about it? Did you pray about it? Did you pray about it? But I want to ask us, do we pray about it? Now, if you're like me, what I do so often is I usually get out there and I try to solve it and then I pray about it. Anybody done that? Yeah. We really got to back up. And prayer is such an important part of our life. We've got to be there. It's a spiritual discipline, just like being good at any type of sports or anything in life or at your job. It's a spiritual discipline. We begin with prayer. We pause and we pray. You have a difficult person in your life right now. We pause and we pray before we move ahead. The next one, we get all the facts correct. You know that in difficult circumstances, situations, you know the facts get all messy sometimes, and they're usually coming through a filter that is our own filter, and so we're taking time to get the facts correct when we're in a difficult situation, we're dealing with difficult people. And then God's Word, and really this should be up here, we study God's Word. The Bible says that His Word is what? It's a light and a lamp. It guides us into all truth. Are we getting the Bible off the shelf and using it to direct us, to lead us, and to guide us in all of life? Or are we going to the latest self-help book? Did that hurt? Or is that good? We grab God's Word because it's living and it's active. It changes us. It helps to prepare us for the difficult circumstance that we might be in right now. Seeking godly counsel, something that we're called to. I'm so thankful for the people that God has brought around me. I have a pretty close group of mentors and people that I can go to and I can talk to, and I can share my struggles, I can receive advice, I can receive counsel from them. I do that. I think we all should do that. That's why we come together in settings like this and in smaller groups and so on. Godly counsel helps us in this process of spiritual discipline and preparing. And then, of course, we pick a good time to plan our remarks. How many have been on the receiving end of ill-timed remarks in your life? Right, we know what that's like, right? Maybe if you're married today, you've been on that and you've said, like, there could have been a better time for that right there, you know. And so that's what we're doing. It's part of the spiritual discipline that we're called into, called pause and prepare. So A, affirm relationships. Affirm relationships. So write that down. Here's what that looks like. We recognize that communication is key, and we communicate in a courteous manner. It's a very practical step, because sometimes in a difficult circumstance, we don't. So we determine and we pray to communicate in a courteous manner. We communicate a desire to do, this is important, what's right, and everybody say not when. Not when, because if you're a competitor, like some of us are, what we go into that situation thinking that we want to do what? Win. But we go into that wanting to do what's right and not winning. If in authority, we exercise it with restraint. All you who are in authority, some of you are employers, many of you are employers. If you're in that position in your home, we exercise that with restraint. Listen, when I was first married, I tried this thing of, well, listen, I'm the husband, I'm the head of the house, so you should do what I tell you to do. Early in my marriage, the first minutes, like the first seconds, you know, of my marriage, I will tell you, that doesn't work. So just remember that. So if we're in authority, we exercise it with restraint. And we submit to authority. Listen, we all are to submit to authority. We all are to be under authority. I'm under authority. We all are to live under authority. So we submit to that, and we look out for the interests of others. What was the passage? Philippians chapter 2, verse 23. It's not about us, right? It's about them. We look out for the interests of others. You, we're going to go quickly through these. You, we understand the interests of who? The other person. What's the issue that we're dealing with? Sometimes issues in difficult relationships get all messed up, and we seek clarity for the issue at hand. what is it we're dealing with, and what is the position or desired outcome of the other person. Philippians chapter 2, verse 23. It's about the other person. It's not about us. Too often we go into these situations and circumstances making it about us. S, search for creative solutions. That's what this is about. That's what we're doing. It's part of a biblical process. It's part of a spiritual discipline. How can everybody say, we solve this? We. So often, we violate Philippians chapter 2, verse 23 by saying, look, here's how I'm going to solve this. Here's how I'm going to do this. And we do it in our relationships. We do it in the closest relationships that we have. Guys, sometimes we do that. Wives, sometimes we do that. It's like, how am I going to solve this? What's my idea? It's not I, it's what? It's we. And then the last one on this pause principle is spiritual discipline that we're going to employ in our life. We evaluate the options, right? We make a list of those things that we decided on, and we employ that in our life. Now, what about people who just want to argue? You have those people in your life? Don't look at anybody. Don't look at your neighbor. What about those people who just want to talk and they just want to argue, and they're a part of your difficult, situation, difficult person? Listen to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4. Don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become as foolish as they are. Verse 5 is important. Be sure to answer the foolish arguments of fools, or they will become wise in their own estimation. And it almost feels like that the wisdom from Proverbs here is kind of in opposition, right? Because in verse 4, don't answer the foolish arguments. In verse 5, be sure to answer the foolish arguments of fools. They're companion verses. Here's what it means. That there are all those things that come into your life from a difficult person who are just flippant remarks. And the wisdom of the word is like, in those situations, don't even respond to it. Don't even answer it. And some of you are right there, see? You've got that difficult person in your life just tossing this stuff out all the time. And they're just foolish remarks meant to hurt you and meant to harm you. And the wisdom of Proverbs says this, don't even answer them. Don't even answer them. What the teaching here is this, when there is a time when that person is in error in their theology or in their thinking of Scripture, then we take time to correct that. That's the difference there. But when those things are coming into our life, they're just flippant remarks. The wisdom of the word is this. Don't answer those. Don't answer those. It's a spiritual discipline. That's a discipline, isn't it? It is. And it's what God has called us to. Now, I want to talk in just next couple minutes here, lead you through something that I have led a lot of people through. What do you do when you've done everything right? You see, Ken Sandy, who I have followed in this whole area of conflict resolution, says this. He says, when dealing with difficult people, and many of you are going to be here, by the way, because you've done this stuff in some form or fashion. When dealing with difficult people, it's also important to recognize your limits. Even when you continue to do what is right, some people may adamantly refuse to admit you are right or live at peace with you. If you have done everything within your power to resolve a conflict, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, you have fulfilled your responsibility to God and may stop actively trying to solve the problem. If you have done everything that you can and you have fulfilled Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, then it may be time for you to do this next thing that I'm going to walk you through. I've walked many people through it. Remember WWJD? Remember what that means? Like, it goes back like 100 years ago. What is it? What? Do, right. So instead of like asking the question, what would Jesus do? Let's look at what Jesus did. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. And you're going to see a process here. What would Jesus do? Here's what he did. He did not retaliate. He's on the cross when he was insulted, nor did he threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Depending on what version of the Bible that you're reading from today, King James Version, I think the NIV, it uses the word here. I think that's much more powerful. When he was suffered, the Bible says in that version, insults were hurled at him. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, when they hurled their insults at him. You know, that's with intention. That was meant to harm him, right? It wasn't just kind of a passing comment. They hurled their insults at him. When they hurled their insults at him, this is what he did. He didn't threaten revenge. Think about that spiritual discipline for just a moment. Sometimes the human nature comes up, doesn't it? We go like, I'm going to get that person, man. I'm going to pray God takes you out, right? We want revenge. What would Jesus do? What did he do? He didn't threaten revenge. When he suffered, beyond anything that we could ever imagine or that we will ever know, here's what he did. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. And I want to walk you through that because some of you are right there today. You honestly have done everything that you can to deal with this difficult person in your life. When you talk about hunting it down, peace, and pursuing peace, that's been your life. Or we will be there someday. What do we do when it continues? I believe that what we do is this right here. We leave that person, that situation, in the hands of the Lord, and we walk away from it in peace. And I help people to formalize that process. I'm going to do that for you this morning. If this is you right now, I'm going to invite you to do it. I'm going to invite you to formalize it by somewhere marking today, August 30th, on your calendar. I'm going to invite you to go home, throw a rock in the water, plant a tree, draw a line in the sand, pull up a weed, do whatever you can, something that says, look, on this day right here, I did this right here. I left that in the hands of the Lord. Why formalize it? Why do I think it's important for us to do that? Because the enemy will always come, like he did with some of you this past week, and says, God didn't do that in your life last Sunday. Or when there are times when you've come to him and you have sensed this peace and God's an amazing work in your life, who's right on your doorstep? It's the enemy, isn't it? Because the Bible says he's out there. He's seeking to devour. And so why formalize it? Why mark down today? Why pull a weed? Why draw a line? Why plant a tree? Whatever, whatever. Formalize it so that when the enemy comes into our life, we don't let him take us back to there. We take him right back to here. We said, on this day today, on August 30th, this is what I did. I released that person to the Lord. I've done everything I can, and I can do no more. I release him to the one who judges fairly. And so I'm going to invite you to stand right now, and here's what I'm going to ask you, just this question, as we wrap up. What area do you need to change? What area do you need to change? What spiritual discipline in dealing with difficult people do you need to change? Talked about pause, right? Prepare, right? Affirm a relationship. Understand the interests of others. Maybe this whole thing has been about you and not about the other person. Maybe you just can't get to that place where together you can search out solutions, try to figure this thing out. Maybe it's somewhere in there, but it's a spiritual discipline that Jesus is speaking to you today about, and you are asking and inviting his Holy Spirit to help you in that. Maybe you're at that place in 1 Peter chapter 2 where you're like, I got to leave this in the hands of God, the one who judges justly. And today, I'm drawing a circle around August 30th. I know that as we do, we'll leave this place with his peace settling deep in our heart. The enemy wants to come in, and he will do anything and everything to disrupt what Jesus wants to do in you. The healing that he wants to bring in your life. How he wants to use you. He will do that. But thank God that he's greater and all that. Amen. So, Father, we pray today. God, would you speak to us? We talked about spiritual disciplines today. Some of us are doing really, really well. Some of us, the Holy Spirit, you're speaking to us right now. It's been about me. It's not been about us. And maybe that's where we are today. And we're inviting you to help us. Maybe we've centered this thing around what I want. and not what we want. Maybe it's a lack in my prayer life or studying your word or seeking you. It's in this preparation area. Maybe I've abused my authority over others, or I don't find myself in authority. Whatever it is, Jesus, whatever you have spoken, just let's give it to him right now and say, God, this is the area that I'm asking for your help in. Thank you for your word that's a light and a lamp, helps us along our pathway. And for those of us today, and you've done everything, and you've done it masterfully, and there are some of you here who have. And today's a day where we just leave it in the hands of the Lord. No matter the insults, no matter the things that come our way, we determine through the power of the Holy Spirit not to retaliate, but to leave it in the hands of God, the one who judges fairly. And so I invite you to do that right now. Some of you are lifting up a person right now. Some of you are lifting up a circumstance right now. Centers around other people, situations. But God, we leave it to you, and we walk in freedom, knowing that you're the one who judges fairly. And ultimately, your purposes will prevail. God, I would pray that many people would walk in freedom, a brand new freedom today, for what you're doing. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand, shall we, for what he's doing.